Now, the War of the Roses is a new factor that I am brought in. Now, that's on my chart. I think Henry V was the victor of the War of the Roses. Is that right, Ian?
He was.
Yes. So what is... Now, I've got that in the Dobbs quadrant, me being a successful quadrant where the other four were tragedies. What is it about the War of Roses that's still going on? Is that the fact that the Queen's family can trace their roots back, at least back to there, if not 1,000 years?
Hey, yes.
What's going... Is the War of the Roses still going? Because that's part of the empires and the queen and others of
yes.
that war.
Yes. It's
right.
never been settled.
So is that a battle between the Plantagenets and the Tudors, or Tudors and the
no.
Scots? Or
see, you could sing the Stuarts in it, but... Yeah, and then you're going to get to the damned Amicis. It's just
the whole European faction.
Yeah. The whole debacle that's falling, which is, the by essence, your very European Union itself.
Right.
Which is all but crushing and falling away. They're still fighting over who's in charge over a thing that none of us is going to survive.
Are they what has always controlled America the last 300 years?
They haven't controlled America the last 300 years, though, Bob.
So now America is Trumpized and victorious, getting dragon qualities, so Europe falls
sovereign.
Apart.
Sovereign.
Getting sovereign. It's completing
what... They are sovereign. That's why the
Queen
right. doesn't even fuck with it anymore.
Right, so they're fighting among themselves, the Europeans. They can't fight
over
America.
Over who's in charge when there's nothing left to fight over.
Right. Okay,
perfect.
Quoting the Croker quadrant, which is satellite squared, going into the Thompson quadrant. So that's pretty good, I say in my notes. And I like to say that everything ends up in the Thompson quadrant. What did you mean by that? Why would everything end up in the Thompson quadrant?
It has to. That's the unprescribable. It's the part that could never work out. It
the ineffable.
Out.
Well, isn't that the non-physical?
But that's all that everybody's talking about. It's funny that the ineffable part is the only thing everybody's talking about.
Always. In their mysticism.
Yeah.
And that's the Thompson quadrant, would we say?
That's correct.
Right. So you emphasize the mystical part. Carol, the ineffability, you lose the basic knowledge of the power in your words. It's simpler. Right, Ion?
True.
Yeah, that's why the astral zone is a big extension of little man, Carolyn. And it's falling away.
We say too much woo-woo.
Yes, too much woo-woo, Carolyn. Okay, so the in March 8th, 2014, the Malaysian airline MH370, that plane, disappeared. Now, what was funny, 2 days before that, Matthew Hurtado, MH, he was 37, had a private session. It was actually the last private session back in 2014. So this thing disappeared. Matthew disappeared a couple of weeks later. Is there a metaphor of the MH370 plane disappearing and Matthew committing suicide, social suicide?
Yes, the same. It's an example. They weren't linked, but they occurred simultaneously.
And that's Bob's Xenocrity. Bob's reality is expressed
is.
In events in the Outer Kingdom.
That's correct.
Right. So where, I think you explained this way back in the archives, the plane went to another world. This is not the one with the AIDS people on it.
Right. The scientist, you're talking about the scientist?
Yeah, we're going to steal our drops to solve the AIDS
mm-hmm.
thing in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I think this one dropped materials over the Crimean area or into the Ukraine. And then Israel was mad at somebody for making that, and there was almost a little war there. Wasn't that all part of that flight?
It was.
Now, the plane went to another world. Is there always debris left over in this world?
No, they staged that because they had to have some documentation.
Right. So I read, J.W. sent me a long article on that, and a lot of questions, and the main guy, the amateur, started investigating and finding the debris. He didn't know it was put there and washed up on the beach, but they were shooting at him, he thought, trying to kill him. And they were just trying to get rid of him because he was inconvenienced to the conspiracy that already happened and put the stuff on the island. He was just an outsider, could become a nuisance, or he wasn't being shot at. His paranoia, was it based on reality?
Well, there's the problem with paranoia. It has to have some thread, otherwise you're just crazy.
All right. Well, was somebody trying to hurt him?
Yes.
And they were doing that because he was investigating the washed-up debris too much, okay. Which then leads into finding out somebody planted the debris.
More questions that you can't really answer. Not
right.
That,
well, was he encouraged to
sinister?
It's sinister.
Not that sinister.
Not that sinister. Right, but he was directed to find the crash materials washed out on the beach. You put that out there, that confuses things, like they did with the Warren Commission.
Correct. Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Right. Back to Jack Ruby.
Right. Okay, I think we did. Was Meyer Lansky a really powerful figure, or was he just limited to the mafia?
Too much mafia, and then he forfeited. He was super powerful before he yielded himself. He had too many bloodsuckers on the payroll.
Right, so you said he was almost powerful, and too powerful, and then he yielded himself. Is that what you said? He capitulated?
Yeah.
He had a lot of power, but it was too much for him to handle.
It was overwhelming. It wasn't really power. It was more like abject respect that got overplayed.
And so he capitulated.
He had no choice.
He gave it up, and I think he ended up in jail.
It happened.
Yeah. What decade was the peak of his power, and he was still in charge of it? It hadn't flipped into abject worship during World War II, the 40s.
Just a hair before that, when it was like the end of the Roaring 20s.
Oh, okay.
Everything was sort of stable. It was not so quiet, so wild, but yet not quite there yet either.
Well, it was becoming wild because the economy crashes in 29. So you're talking about before 29?
Yes, just barely.
And Andrew Mellon, some relative of Peggy, he conspired to get whatever the mafia had acquired during the Prohibition to get that out of their thing, so they crashed the economy to reorganize it.
Updated.
Is that a valid?
Updated,
right. So Andrew Mellon did do that.
Did, yes.
Caused the collapse.
And it wasn't like trying to tear up the world either. I mean, it was sincere in its process. It just didn't go very well.
Right. Like the new radio environment, the new free information, the new wealth was confusing visual space economics.
Correct.
The old accounting.
The joke is they couldn't see their own accounting.
Right, because it was audio, not visible anymore. Because the radio experience was new wealth. People could enjoy that reality and not have to pay much for it.
And now they don't even listen to it at all.
Yeah, they don't listen. Well, they're enjoying the tactile interplay of the Android beam chip body and the tech body. That's a different sensibility. And it makes wealth out of nothing. But the experience itself is more wealthy than any moneyed interpretation, any money condensation of the actual wealth that people engage. I mean, people engage day in day on their Black Mirror, and it's a new reality to experience. And it distracts from the old practical hardware issues. You agree with that?
We do.
Okay. So, what was the final point? We're talking about the economy and, oh yeah, in the 50s and 60s, for Meyer Lansky, he took on too much, but other mafia gangs rose, and you had Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, the black guy, Sammy Davis Jr., the Rat Pack, Peter Lawford.
Mm-hmm.
Were they totally indebted to the mafia for their Hollywood success and their Las Vegas world?
They were mafioso.
Were they actually guys who went out and beat people up and shot people? Like the regular mafia?
They had it called done, yes. They had to put in work.
So they were mafia dons in their own sphere. Or were they beholden to the actual mafia dons?
By that right definition, not so much. But everything up to that right definition you just gave, yes, they were stronger than you knew. Yes.
Yeah, stronger than you knew. But you said according to that right definition, then what'd you say?
They weren't dons.
The corrective.
Yeah, they're not dons, and they were controlled by the secret, mean, you know, street-level dons, but they had a lot of power anyways on their own that they could do their own scene that the old dons didn't interfere with. Right? You like that?
Correct.
You see, the wealth of Hollywood, Carolyn, bypassed the money wealth of the gambling, prostitution, liquor dealing old dons of the 20s, 30s, and 40s, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have Sinatra and them get new power in the image world.
Correct.
Yeah, so it sidelines the old guys, but the old guys control the money part, and they can make someone a star or stop them. So remember they put the horse's head within Frank Sinatra's bed, Carolyn? The famous story. They scared somebody.
It was the Gambino, the Gotti.
Well, no, that's later. The horse's head is in the Godfather movie in the 50s, 60s. So that was a battle among the dons of that day. So who is someone who became a star through that system and transcended it and moved beyond the control of the old dons and maybe weren't doing their own smoting anymore? Did anybody ascend from that background, success?
You know, it was a withered. It was all borrowed. See, when you borrow against the original, you got to pay the piper, so they couldn't make it. So, no, they did not.
And John Kennedy caught in the crossfire of those factional fights. And so when
he might as well have been a Don himself with his whiskey run.
Yeah, so he was a Don, and he was taking on the other Dons and trying to make a lockdown of his own John Rule. And when he got removed, it weakened the Rat Pack, who were very involved with John Kennedy and Marilyn Monroe, correct?
It did. It changed their perception and direction. They're strong as they ever were. They just look differently at it now.
Yes, they actually moved across the planet, set up resorts in the Caribbean and all that. They moved out of the American cities, became global. And that's when, who's the guy in New Orleans that was... No, the mafia guy that Robert Kennedy kicked out, but he came back and he said he's going to chop their head off, take the tail. Garrison went after him. His famous mafia guy, he did pretty good for the next 20 years. So some of the mafia that offed Kennedy, that weakened the Rat Pack, but Marcello, that was his name, Carlos Marcello and them, it's consolidated their power with Nixon and moved across the Caribbean and out across the world. Would you agree with that, Ion?
Yes.
So they ruled for a while, but by the mid-70s when Gambino got shot, and they all started fighting among themselves, and then the FBI moved in the 80s and took over the Teamsters, and that kind of weakened the mafia. Then you had Johnny come lately, like John Gotti, who got a bit of success for a while, but then were put away.
It was borrowed. See, it was the borrowed from the power. The family was supposed to protect it. The family was the God. That's what was wrong with it.
Right. So are any of those guys, those families, whatever's left over, are they aware of what we're doing? Are they interested in that, or it's beyond their pay grade?
No, a little bit. They're interested in anything that makes it work because they're falling apart. So, yeah.
Right. And they're infiltrated the Department of Justice and all that. They're all mixed in there now, the good and the bad. I'll have to look at that movie, The Garden of the, is it the Finzi Continis? No, The Delights. There's two movies. There's the Finzi Continis about Italian struggles with the Nazis, I think, and then the one you're always quoting of Good and Evil. What is that title? The Garden of Good and Evil?
Midnight.
Garden of Midnight?
Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil.
Yeah, Ion.
Jim Williams. Jim Williams.
Right. Now, is that about the 80s and 90s, that movie? It's not about the mafias of the past or the gangs in Italy.
No, not about them. No, 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 no. Not at all.
Does it reflect something that's happened since 2008 or before, pre-Mary McLuhan or post-Mary McLuhan?
Post-Mary McLuhan.
Right. Okay, so I got to see that. I don't think I've seen it. I've seen The Garden of the Finzi Continis made in the 70s about the Nazi era and the problems with the oligarchy in that situation. Okay, so you have a final point, Carolyn.
No, come on.
Why? What's the rush?
I've got things to do.
Oh, okay. All right, Ion. Excellent information today. Breakthrough
fabulous,
again.
Fabulous, fabulous. Fabulous.
Thank you very much.
Indeed. On the road
Thank
to
you,
Wellville.
And, yeah, let J.W. stay on. I have a question, please. Thank
All
you,
right,
Ion.
You.
Excellent.
Yes, indeed. Yep.
So I'll stop the recording, Carolyn.
Okay, I'll go
we
on.
We are complete.
Thank you, Ion.